Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, what is that? What is that? It's not stench. It's not an odor. It is the sizzling Mark Reddings just steaming into the studio off the back of 2 months off the piss. He's come rolling in from the shoe bar. No. Skeeter, good to be with you here, mate. Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios. Skeet, you've cracked the maiden. You've returned to the Holy Land. A couple of shelters over the weekend.
Had a couple, yeah, and just kicked it off Friday with you. We'd had lunch, my old school Trinity, and had a chat with you and just made sure we tried to entertain the folk there. And it was it's a good day.
It was like some sort of
cult.
Mark Reddings convention. It was very, very, oh, I went to school with Skeeter and fucking, yeah, he's the funniest bloke ever. It was big show out there.
Yeah,
were
they, no.
What were they doing there? They were there to see you? Or?
No, they were just because they get together with the class of, whether it's 87 my year or there's 99 or
the
whatever.
Old boys.
There's 1964, like 60 years, Bob Shields and all those guys. So, no, it was a, anyhow, it's good to see you. Obviously, we'll do some work at Aquinas. And in all seriousness, it is great to catch up with blokes you don't see probably once a year maybe or once every 5 or 6 years, but to go and have a drink and then you kick on and we get into the footy.
How did the punt fare, given that you returned to a couple of
Not too bad. My tipping was a bit all over the shop, but so we can discuss that as we roll through the show. But first up, I mean, very rare that you don't like to pump your tyres up early in the piece. I'll do it for you. And you... You are
really off the top of this, eh?
Yeah, because your self-esteem and I say your confidence is through the roof, and I just want to just drip feed off that occasionally because I don't have the same level as you. But tipping Hawthorn with such confidence last week, yeah. I think was your
piece
moment
of
the weekend. So yeah, well done to you, piece de resort. That's the first French terminology I've heard you spit out in about 2.5 years.
Oui, oui.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you, Skeeter. I was saving that up for later, but yeah, we may as well dominate that off the top. Thank you very much. Did pick Hawthorn, and I reckon it could be the best thing I've done all year, to be honest. I don't really know what I'm doing up here sometimes. Socials, you can follow us over at Shelter Footycast, going well at the moment. Nick's doing a very good job over there with that. And if you want to contribute to the show or let us know something that we absolutely butchered, let us know. Footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. Now, Skeeter, talking about butcherings, I don't think that's a good segue, but we've got a VIP section, the Patreon, going well, Skeet. We've had some sign-ups over the weekend.
Have you really?
We got the... No, not you. We.
Oh, we.
We. We, we. Scoey's tier, $10 a month. You can become a VIP of the show. And to be honest, it's just helping support put this together. I'm going to be able to pay Skeet's big wage somehow. Oh, so, hey?
You need to clarify that because that is a genuine piss take. You know, it's like
I can't have people thinking I'm on much money. If
a box of Jack's crackers. It's a modest amount, but we enjoy each other's company. Thank Christ.
Yeah, correct. So you can get on the Scoey tier for $10 a month. You can get discounted merch. You get ad free content. You get beers with the boys. Me and Skeet will have a beer with you during the year a few times. Actually, four of those. And you can get a personalised. You get personalised. Yeah, you don't have to pay. It's all right. Just come down and have a beer. All right. Never stopped you before. And I think this is the best part of the $10 tier, the Scoey tier. Personalised cameos from Skeet or Scoey. Don't worry about me. I would pay $10 a month to have a video from you wishing my grandma a happy birthday or maybe giving some marital advice. Or I would happily pay $10 a month for that.
Yeah, no, why wouldn't you? I mean, if I could actually record a piece and if I'll try and get that sorted with the help of you and my daughter, then yeah, we'll get it done.
You can come in here, we'll hold a phone in your face and you just do your best work.
We'll mix with the folk and have a chat with them.
If you love your beer, I think the Skeet tier is for you. For Skeeter, it's $75 a month and you get a slab of Shelter Brewing Co. to your door, delivered to your door every month. You get all the good stuff that's in Scully's tier, but you also get tickets to all the events at Shelter Brewing Co. free. Tickets to all of the Shelter Footycast shows around the state free. And you get bigger discounts on merch and discounts across the Shelter online store, Skate. So I'll let you know where that is as well, Skater. So shelterbrewing.com.au.
That's enough for our show. So that's where we end up because we've taken up 15 minutes of just promoting all the shit we have. Thank you.
Will Skate, Mark Redding, Shelter Footy Car. Let's get into the footy, Skater. I think it's a good call, mate. We love your support of the show, but mainly we just like talking shit about footy. Rosie subbed off with a hamstring. Can I let you know, if you weren't listening last week, a hamstring's 3 weeks. So if you try and play after 6 days, your hamstring's still not healed and you're going to fucking be out longer. So Connor Rosie has done his hammy again in the game.
Yeah, and look, I listened to Ken Hinckley post-match in brief, and I didn't mind this from Hinckley. You know what? Some coaches try and bluff their way through it. He said, it's my bad, my fault, my decision, and he's going to take it on board. He did explain, by the way, what happened during the course of the week and the medical advice that came his way. So I do sympathise with him because if you've got Connor Rosie sitting there saying, I'm feeling good, I'm running at fast pace, I'm kicking the ball, and the medico is saying, well, there's nothing that's come up. So
you're going to play your captain, aren't you?
Your point is valid, but and I know I heard some arguments about this on Fox on the weekend, but you know, hindsight's a really good thing to have. Look, caution as always, and that'll mean that he's going to miss at least the next couple of weeks now, isn't it? That's a given.
3 weeks.
Yeah, so whether it's two or three. But if you were put in the same position with Ken Hinckley, given all the information he had, and as he said, I saw it in my own two eyes, him training, and you're thinking, you know, the showdown, we've got to win. It's a temptation that sometimes is too hard to ignore.
Yeah, I agree. I actually saw the footage of him training, and he looked $1 million. So if you're the coach, your captain, before a showdown, tells you, I'm good to go, It feels like you're making it up. You can't leave him out.
No.
If he has no restriction on training. The fatigue factor is relevant, though, and Ken Hinckley spoke about that. When you're fit and firing and you do a 10-minute fitness test, that's all good. But 45 minutes into a showdown, you've been running around, you might have done 6 or 7 Ks, the rest of the body starts to break down. So he couldn't run or kick or mark or do anything after half time. So
and look at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, correct.
5-14. They kicked, I think it was 5-14, 5-18. They were horrendous in front of goal.
A lot of people were tipping Adelaide in that one.
Yeah, they were. I didn't.
No. Correct. Far out. A couple of other big ones over the weekend, Skeeter. 3 week suspension for Callum Brown on Tom McCartan. Did you see this one?
Yeah, I did see it. And put it this way, if we're giving Jack Higgins 3 for what he did, and I thought that was, I didn't think there was, you know, he was tackling the bloke. I feel more sympathy for Jack Higgins, to be honest with you, for copying 3. And Callum Brown, look, I don't know. He got him high, and it was a bump. Was it? There was, social media blew up a bit on this as well, but.
What, they weren't happy with it, or they weren't?
They weren't happy with it. You know, they thought it was light on.
Didn't feel like a shirt front for mine.
No, I didn't think. Put it this way. Let's go back to we use it as a barometer, like the bump that we saw pre-season.
Jimmy Webster.
With Jimmy Webster. He nowhere near that territory.
No.
I didn't.
What did he get? 6 weeks?
7 maybe, was it?
So. Oh, I mean, if you go off that, he's got less than half of that. They want to protect the head. But again,
McCartan's got the concussion.
The fact that we are talking about this is it's outcome over action. And the fact that we're breaking down the action, well, they've just looked at the outcome and then that's the result. So it'll be interesting to see if GWS will challenge this one. It'll be a difficult one to challenge given the outcome. And that's the precedence that's being set. I would just refer back to Hamish Brayshaw's open letter that seemed to take over the nation last week. I think it's spot on. The inconsistencies are there for everyone to see. And I think it's getting very frustrating for media, for fans, and for people playing the game because they don't know what they're going to get.
We've certainly not been able to give you an answer or solution to it either.
No, or tip any winners. Luke Beveridge, I definitely said it somewhere. I'm not sure if it was a Shelter Footy Cast. Luke Beveridge from mine came into the season with a little bit of pressure. Was able to maybe win a couple of games at the start of the season. He's got to be under severe, proper coaching job pressure right now after that performance yesterday.
Yeah, not just that performance. It's the wave of up and down that we see from the Dogs. And look, his record, he's won a premiership. He's got the team to a grand final. So the bloke can clearly coach.
The premiership was 8 years ago.
It was. You know, it's like Adam Simpson, 2018 was the premiership. And off the back of that, Beveridge has got them to another grand final. So, yeah, at what point do we actually say it's the coach's fault, or the playing list isn't as good as what we think?
And where does the, you know, mounting external pressure, when does that start to weigh into board members and CEOs? Because the CEO, Mick Baines, came out 2 weeks ago and said, job guaranteed. I know a few people in the media, Kane Corns hates that sort of shit coming out. Like, why would you guarantee someone's job if, you know, over the next 8 weeks he loses pumped by 100 points and he's inconsistent and you know... Something doesn't seem right for mine.
Is it a happy camp? I know the Draper thing right. Just sticks in the back of my head a bit.
Right. So if we can just transfer that a little bit. So Brad Scott came out after the game, very strong on Sam Draper in his press conference. He was asked about it after win against West Coast. You know, spoke about how disappointed he was, spoke about how Sam knew how disappointed he was. It was disrespectful. It was arrogant. It was all these things. Can we take a moment to consider that maybe Sam Draper is just 100% correct?
Well, he's just listening to... He's been told this information. He didn't mat it up.
I haven't heard many people say... Look, I understand he's not a journalist. He's a player for an opposition club. But if it's real, I mean, what has... I can see that maybe the optics aren't great, but I don't think it's disrespectful if it's real. He's saying that if Luke Beveridge, who's been incredibly inconsistent this year, signs on, players that aren't getting a game right now aren't going to stay. Yeah, no shit. The environment that gets created over here with some of this stuff, like Brad Scott spent probably 5 or 6 minutes of his press conference post-game talking about this. That would never happen in America. Sam Draper would say what he would say and then we'd just get on with it.
Yeah, true. And look, we mentioned this last week. In the States, it's an entirely different setup. Having said that, I do understand Brad Scott. You know, if you're at Essen, you know, here's a club that has done nothing in the last 20 years, really. You don't want to be putting a target on your back from a coaching perspective. You've got to understand where he's sitting from. You don't want your players coming out and talking about other clubs. That's just what he was referring to. And I sort of get that. We love it in the media because it gives us some fodder. Sam Draper, I reckon, will be a little more cautious moving forward. But yeah, the Beveridge story is, I think, getting back to the original point. There's something missing at that footy club at the moment because unless it's the personnel which we're all misreading and you'd think they've got a team capable of playing finals, yeah. But they're not going to be playing finals in my mind now.
No, and they'll need to turn around, which he's also been able to do in the past as well. He's been able to turn around quickly. So that's always the questions you're asking yourself in the media. If I can finish off on the Sam Draper stuff, given what I do, like post-footy and in media, ex-player, I want to see more players doing external stuff. I think we're so tightly held in the media in this country, especially for sport. There's been at times a certain mistrust of mainstream media with elite athletes. And so we're starting to see this shift into more independent ventures. So Sam Draper's got his own podcast. I think good on him. I would personally like to see an environment where players can be open and say what they think and talk about things that are happening. We as fans, we want to know what's happening behind the scenes. And if you have your head coach come out, like you can be disappointed and disrespected and all of that and come out and speak to the Bulldogs behind closed doors. Like if you have your coach publicly reaming you, like we won't hear another thing from Sam Draper all year, which I don't think that's a good thing. Like he's a character, he's a personality.
Yeah.
And we've shut that down now. Imagine him rolling into the podcast this week. You reckon he's coming shots firing? I don't think that's a good thing, is it?
No, I don't disagree. We like to see... And never met him, never really spoken to anyone who's got a good grasp on what he's like as a bloke. But if he's a character and you can tell the way he goes about his footy, that there's that sort of cheekiness, larrikin about him.
He's a proper ruckman.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So, I don't disagree. I think it's just unfortunate. And you're right, Australians have always been conservative in our athletes. They don't want to talk ourselves up too much. We would like to be that. That sort of understated type as opposed to the Americans. I think we're more like the British, to be honest, where the British are, you know, don't dare to be too outlandish and it'd be nice to be a bit more towards the American way, but their style also is a bit, you know, bit of a flog factor with them as well, to be honest with you. So anyway, let me just hit you up with one thing before we move on.
Great.
What I've got to work... The weekend of footy, I mean, is it an attractive round of footy to watch? Only one game... We saw a total of over 170 points scored. We saw kicking for goal horrendous in the Melbourne Geelong game. We saw it last night. Brisbane kicked, 10 points straight after half time. And how about this? For the first time since 1987, eight sides were held goalless in quarters on the same weekend. So that's going back to the VFL and obviously now the AFL. Port Adelaide, Collingwood, the Giants, Geelong, Melbourne, Richmond, Suns and Brisbane all had goalless quarters. Yeah, the game at times is still becoming very ugly with the rolling mauls and the players just gathering around like a beast to a honeypot. That's an issue for me.
We spoke about this round before it started as the best round of footy ahead of us. We had all of the clashes. We had the showdown, the Battle of the Bridge, the Q clash, all that sort of stuff. We had big matchups in Melbourne and Geelong. If I go through the list, I watched a fair bit of footy this weekend. Carlton Collingwood was good, but it was because it was a close game.
Yep.
It wasn't necessarily that good to watch, in my opinion. Adelaide Port was a stinker. Port Adelaide played like shit, and they were really poor in front of goal.
Yep.
Sydney GWS I didn't see. North Melbourne St Kilda was never going to be a good game. Melbourne Geelong was dour. Like, it was properly dour.
Defensive. Two great defensive sides.
Yeah, which is great. Like, yeah. Three-quarter time was 40-40 or something like that.
There's a goalless quarter in that as well. So, in modern footy, I know we, you know, it can be a case where a tight, low-scoring game is terrific. I'm not saying this is across the board, but are we losing our way? Is the stand working? All these rules that we've brought in, is it helping us get more scoring? That's my question.
So West Coast Essendon, I thought was a really poor game for three quarters. Mm. I had to call that on Fox, and it was hard because it wasn't.
But it was tight.
So I've got a theory on why. It's a great point you raised, Skeeter. I've spoken to a few people still playing the game, and they say it has never been quicker, and it is so difficult to defend. Teams have never moved the ball faster and never moved. If you think about on a footy field, you hear changing lanes. So teams have never been able to switch the footy through lanes quicker. It's coming down one side, bang, 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 and it's gone. So defenders, back six defenders are finding it so hard to defend. Now clubs are trying to find ways to help them and to help defend. So the way they're doing that, so West Coast Essendon, they both started with the loose behind the footy. And I don't mean centre bounce. Mm. I mean, as soon as the centre bounce happened,
yes,
they got wing back, they got a half forward up to the wing, and they were literally loose to loose. And so it creates this, 80% of the ground where they're chipping and moving it fast and going quick, but then both teams can defend and you can't score. The secondary thing is happening is the way that they're moving the ball, even though teams never move it faster in terms of moving lanes, they're moving the ball in a way that you can defend behind it. And so that might be a slow build up out of the back line. It might be chipping away. If you think about the way Fremantle have been playing a little bit, that slow ball movement, that helps them defend. That's why they're defending really well this year, because of what they do with the footy. So you compile both of those, both what you're doing as a team to defend, team defense, as well as how you move the footy to then be able to defend behind it. And I think because teams are so scared about how fast the game can be or is, they're putting all their resources into stopping goals. Because you can say whatever rules you like, and the stand rule, and rotations, and 666, all this stuff. But in the end, clubs are going to find ways to try and win games of football. And right now, I think the biggest risk they see is the game being too quick to defend, and they're going to get 100 points scored on them. So let's just stop that. Let's set up at stoppage to stop it. Let's set up around the ground. Let's move the ball. Let's slow it down. Like let's not get scored against. And coaches and teams are always going to do that, Skeet, no matter what rules there are.
Yeah, that doesn't make it a good spectacle, though. And that's we talked about that and how what the solution is. And I should credit that fact that so many clubs went goalless in a quarter. So Swamp Thing comes up with some ripping.
Swampy.
He's a genius. So thank you to him for supplying that.
I didn't think you'd sat down and done the numbers, to be honest.
What a surprise, Scully. I'm just sorry I was lying on the couch on last night just thinking, what am I going to talk about?
What I got to do with my time? I want to sit down and go through all the fucking quarters. Tell you what.
Anyway, it's a hard watch at the moment.
Great point. Yeah, and I agree with you. But I don't have a salute. Like, because I just think...
Is rotation's the most obvious one where you can get the fatigue levels high enough to mean that you can't defend as well?
Yeah, so I think people think, well, to make it more scoring, you need to quicken the game up. So the game's already never been quicker. And so now teams are trying to slow it and trying to protect. Does that make sense? Like, it sounds like I'm saying the game's never been quicker, but now it's slow. The reason it's slow is both sides are like, we're not having a fast game here. We don't want this absolute, Players have never been able to kick the ball better, never been able to run faster, never been able
except
to
for goal. Fitter. That's one thing that hasn't changed. I watched some matches of the weekend. Port Adelaide, horrendous. Mm. And Ken Hinckley said that. He said the reason we weren't competitive, they were only two or three goals down at three-quarter time, by the way, and they just couldn't hit the scoreboard.
They didn't really look like they were going to win, though. Well, no, it's a great point. I don't think it was an attractive weekend this week. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shot of Footy Cast. Let's talk about some of these games, Skeeter. West Coast Essendon, let's try this one to start. Saturday night, Optus Stadium. Like I said, it was a bit of a weird one to start. They were trying to feel each other out. And you know, as the game went and as it got closer, and West Coast started rolling the dice a little bit, this just turned into a pretty good game. Pretty gutsy effort from West Coast in the end to be able to do what they did with some members down on the bench and obviously losing Elliot Yeo pretty late in the game. How did you see this one?
No, I agree. And I thought they didn't lose any admirers with the way they went about it. I just thought that Essendon, through Zach Merritt, well, I think we might have talked about this prior to when I spoke about it on 6PR about, you know, and I spoke to Mark Stone. Do you put some time into to Zach Merritt? Well, him and Glenn Jakovich were saying, well, you just got to win the footy yourself first. Well, clearly Zach Merritt's one of the best in the business at the moment. He'd be in Brownlow medal contention. I think 34 touches, three goals. He was outstanding. I think he'd pick up the three Brownlow votes on the weekend if they were being dished out. And
Nick Martin was very good.
Nick Martin was exceptional. What I saw in calling the game, I thought, you know, we've been very critical of the defensive aspects of Essendon when they've come here previously. That was an area, as you said, you've already touched on this, about Brad Scott, one of his imprimaturs, has been to make sure their defence is more sturdy, and they've done that a lot. And some of the guys, like Cox, the size of some of these bombers, and their foot skills, I thought, were pretty good. Look, they fell away a bit. I'm not sure whether the brutal nature of the Anzac Day match took a toll on them, but I thought
9 day break.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. But I felt that the Eagles, you know, may as well touch on the free kick from Jamie Cripps, which didn't help their cause. They had momentum on their side. Waterman is shooting for goal. Would have brought the margin back to four. I thought the last quarter was really impressive by the Eagles. I thought they did enough to make you think that this month of footy, if they continue this, they'll be winning their 5, 6, 7 games. I've no doubt, against teams that are coming here particularly.
Yeah, I agree. Brad Scott came out in the press conference afterwards when he wasn't talking about Sam Draper and how disappointed he was in him. Bombers have travelled three or four times in the last 8 weeks. So, mate, West Coast travel every week, buddy. Like, what are you on about? Melbourne coach coming over here. He wasn't complaining, but he was almost sort of like saying, well,
he's oblivious. He doesn't quite understand. And that's fair enough. From a Victorian perspective, travelling 50% of your matches, said, well, you know, 8 rounds, we've travelled 50%. Well, that's true. But you think of any other interstate club, they travel 50% for the whole year.
Yeah, correct. I've actually got some, I think, half-decent insight for once, Skeeter, to throw a few things at you out of this game. Well, you mentioned Jamie Cripps, spoke to him straight after the game. He was really disappointed. And, I don't think any game is defined by a moment. Like, no game in the AFL is. But there's moments in games that are more important than others, and that was one of them. You know, full momentum. The crowd was going nuts. Jake Waterman just took a huge mark, and he got sucked in by Nick Martin. He got absolutely sucked in. If you're the defender, right, if you're Nick Martin, you're going, all right, this is going to be a goal. What's the worst thing going to happen here if I try to find someone up? 50 metres, going to be a goal anyway, who cares? What's the best thing going to happen? I suck someone in. I get a free kick. They don't kick a goal. So you got nothing to lose. Roll the dice. Nick Martin, I thought it was a pretty heads-up play. He looked like he was just baiting Jamie Cripps into doing exactly what he did. And Jamie Cripps is a senior player. Got to be better than that. Thought it was really disappointing. Look, I think there's a pretty strong feeling within the club that Noah Long's done his ACL, Skeeter, which is just absurde.
Mm.
A lot of people really upset by it. He's a really...
So going back to the incident, I remember he came off, he was tackled high, I think, and he went to ground. The replay showed that he was in obvious pain, and that's terrible news for him, isn't it? If that's the worst case scenario, which probably will be confirmed today if that's the case.
Yeah, I think they're pretty close to confirming that. His MCL is definite, and they've got strong consideration that it could be an ACL, which is just terrible news. And he's a really popular player at the West Coast Eagles, and he plays a really important role, and they've been so impressed with the way he's been able to develop as a footballer to lose that's disappointing. Elliot Yeo, of course, with a groin injury in his 200th AFL game is troubling.
I had a discussion again on radio pre-game, and I said, look, you know, I think And Jack Oglin, Jakovic disagreed with me. He thought that he might well put himself on the market and go east at the end of this year.
Who said that? You thought?
No, Jacko said that. My gut feeling is, then I might be, I haven't even spoken to Yoey about this. I think that his preference would be to stay here.
Same.
I don't think, for instance, going to a North Melbourne, if there's any out for Elliott, it would be to go to a club that in the next year or two is contending. I don't think that's the case. I don't know, but I would suspect that he will stay here. The only thing I did say is, look, you know, he's playing really good footy now. They've put, Don Pike spoke to us on Saturday about the contract is on the table. The variable with Elliott is his body has not been able to produce continuous footy. So that's he's rolled the dice. If he wants to wait till the end of the year, it might turn out perfect because he'll come back and from this slight injury and hopefully play really good footy. If not, just how hard the club wants to commit to him and vice versa, given what his body's done in the past 2 years.
The market, well, I don't know what club's going to go and give a 30-year-old 700 grand that, you know, before the game I said this, that, you know, he hasn't been able to put games together and now he's got a soft tissue injury. Terrible news, Valley. He's been playing footy his life, right? But in the end, like, you know, that's a fact. He hasn't been able to be consistent.
It's like he's buying a house, an investment property, and you think, well, there has been some issues structurally with it, or whatever it is, there might. You have to be buyer beware on that front. So I think best result for both parties that Yo stays at the club.
I think he wants to too.
He probably wants to stay at the club, and I see that as being the most likely outcome.
Jake Waterman, who's second in the Coleman right now, I think he's done a hammy and
concussion
also
as well.
A concussion, so hammy was very late in the game.
It looked like cramp because he could barely walk the poor bloke.
Yeah, correct. I saw him in the rooms afterwards, and he wasn't in good way with his head knocked. So I think that's a double whammy. I don't think we'll see him for 2 or 3 weeks.
You say where is he in the Coleman?
A second, I believe.
Oh, so this is just an extension of what I was talking about, and you know, Charlie Curnow leads with 25 goals in 8 rounds.
So what's that, three? Is that
So my point is, he's not seeing, and we love to, your mate, we'll get to Geelong, but Tom Hawkins, it's been a month since he's kicked a goal. Yes. And that's maybe a discussion about his future. But it's just, we want to see more key forwards dominating at the moment. You know, 25 from Charlie's the best we've got.
The last we've got for the West Coast game, Harley Reid, I think it was just cramp. I don't think he's done his hammy. Double fend off. Did you have control of the game that happened?
Yeah.
Was that exciting?
Yeah, it was great. And to be honest with you, every time he goes near the footy and he does something, I don't think, I'm trying to think of a time when there's been, you know, Nick Nat when he started was huge. That was, again, at Subiaco. Same with Chris Judd. And I tell you what, the coverage that he gets and the over-the-top stuff he gets in the media here, I mean, the kids automatically have got the 9 on their back. He's become, I'd imagine right now, the number one selling merchandise product at the Eagles.
Not many players, you can hear and feel the crowd go up when you get serious. So they kicked a goal from that double fend off. It was bang, bang.
Somehow.
The upside down torpedo, lace out Ruben Jimby, and they go and kick a goal. And the feel, like, there's just not many players that they get that feeling.
Energy.
Yeah, energy from. Exactly right. I know he went home. I have seen it with Nick Nat, not with Cuzzy. I didn't know him as a young player, but the weight on Harley Reid's shoulders is huge because of that energy. There's just not players like that. And not many people are able to take themselves back to an 18, 19-year-old. And he would... I'm sure that weight is massive. The club's hopes and winning and losing for a 19-year-old.
Like, he seems to handle it pretty well. I mean, he's at the waffle yesterday, and all I can say is if you know
some what?
Oh, I just think it's right. It's a huge weight from where we sit. He might just be saying, I'm just here having
fun. For some reason over the weekend, Skeeter, I've got my protection prickled up a little bit. I want to look after the young fella. I'm a bit fucking sick of the West Australians' coverage of him. I think just leave him alone, but I want to look after him a bit more, Skeeter. So I'm going to try and do that across the next few months.
Oh, thanks, Peter Staples. Yeah, good on you.
Fremantle defeat Richmond in a absolutely shit-ass game of football. I called this one. It was... so bad to watch. Fremantle were terrible, and they won by 50 points.
Really?
That, mate, look, I know people are going to hate this on socials and on our podcast. If you watch that without an eye of we love Freo, and I love Freo, so I think I can get caught up a little bit. Their connection forward of the footy was dreadful. Like, it was dreadful. They took like 16 marks inside 50 as well. So I'm saying it was dreadful, but the numbers that, if you look at the numbers, you'd be like, what are you talking about, Scobie? They win at the MCG, they win by 50 points, they connect with marks inside 50, they dominate stoppage, they dominate clearance, they take marks inside 50, they do everything that you've always wanted them to do. I'm telling you, if you watch that game properly, it was that they were no good. That would not beat the top 10 sides in the competition, what they put out there. So
doesn't have to be, though. You only have to beat what you're up against. And you,
I know,
you'd have been through
that
as a player.
I know.
You'd have been through as a player. And you would have had an idiot like me come and say, if I'd say that to you, say, mate, yeah, we didn't play our best footy, but sometimes that's the case, isn't it? You can still walk away and go, okay, we won by 50 and we've got some lessons to...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. All I'm saying is that wasn't a great game of football from Freo.
Well, can we at least give credit to Hayden Young, yeah, Caleb Sarong, and Luke Ryan?
Yeah, Luke Ryan, 39. So he had 39 disposals. Yeah, okay. He was just getting like, mate, I love Backman more than anyone. And he was just gallivanting around down there.
Doing his own thing.
Mate, Richmond, they're just gone. They got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Dusty Martin was good for the first 20 minutes. And I was like, maybe put a bit of a cooler on him. He's the only bloke that looks like beating you. Once he cooled off, They have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ravaged by injury.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of sympathy for the Tigers, just given their recent success. That's yeah. This is how the draft and the salary cap and all that stuff's supposed to work. Richmond having some tough times. And not great for Adam Uzo. I mean, he's probably thinking, well, it's this gig in the AFL after that. It was always going to be the toughest job in footy, coming from the Hardwick era, transitioning and trying to keep the blokes like Dusty and so many premiership players interested.
Do you want me to give you some positives?
Go.
Dockers sixth on the ladder after eight rounds. If you cop that, thanks.
Absolutely.
For coming. Are they sixth or fifth?
They're sixth.
They're sixth. So sixth, thanks for coming. They could be third.
There's one poor performance this year.
Yeah.
Outside of that, they've been
the Derby.
Admirable, yeah.
Josh Tracy kicks four. He's come of age. Not coming, he's come of age. He's a bona fide player now in the AFL.
And you feel that he believes it. And I'm just trying to think of the match. I was calling the game. I think it was either against Carlton or Port Adelaide in Adelaide. The marks started to stick. And once that, and we've talked about this, I'll keep it short. Once you see a forward like this start to clunk those and do it, he could just feel his body language, yeah, his confidence. He's always been a physical presence, but now... you're right. I think from about round three or four, we're starting to see Josh Tracy, and he's a baby.
It will help Luke Jackson and Jai Amos so much as well, because he'll get pretty close to getting the best defender the way he's playing at the moment, and then Jai Amos starts getting off the hook, and then Luke Jackson does. So having a player like that, it's just so important to your side. I think what they did with Nat Fyfe was excellent because, one, give the old fella a rest. He's been playing well.
And the coach warned him not to play full stop.
Well, he would have had three Brownlow votes and then he effectively gets dropped, right? But he was rested. But what it did do was give Matt Johnson a game in Nat Fyfe's role. It allowed Jago O'Meara to get probably a little bit more time on ball and play. And he'd been playing a fair bit of wing, actually, Jago. But I just think doing that, it had a few ripple effects through the side and really positive.
Yeah, and the reason in part, I think Justin Lomu, apart from winning the game, he had one eye on this week because it's a five-day turnaround in Sydney. That was a priority. And with Darcy coming off, yeah, I think there was certainly some player management with regards to the quick turnaround.
Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. All right, we're going to whip through these, Skeeter. Showdown was Thursday. Adelaide. Adelaide defeat Port Adelaide. Big win by Adelaide in the end. Port Adelaide, I think they're underperforming a little bit, aren't they? So they lose their captain middle of the game. And Adelaide, they look pretty good. It looks like they've gone back to a little bit of their strengths, trying to move the ball quicker, trying to be more offensive, which they didn't do the start of the year. I reckon they got that wrong. I reckon they got it really wrong, and they've had a little bit of time to sit down and think, well, what are we good at? And they're trying to do that more and more.
Yeah, and Isaac Rankin, he's probably the class player in that side, and he kicked three at the weekend. And, yeah, their efficiency going inside 50 early was enormous. I mean, what were they, 7-2 at half time? The Power, 5-18. Well, one bloke I think deserves credit for what he has done in a couple of poor performances is Jason Horne-Francis. I think he's shown me that. And that's, to me, that's when you learn a bit about players, when the team's struggling a bit. And he's a young player still.
Yes.
He's saying, well, boys, I that's real leadership from a young bloke for me.
Yeah, I like that. If we go back to Adelaide, Jake Saligo, I reckon they got the one there. He wins the medal. He was outstanding. Like, really good, hard-nosed. I'm banged on about it on the coverage, but I think, you know, Rory Sloane's had a fair bit to do with him, developing him. And there was a bit of footage that came out of Jake at the draft camp saying, "What, you know, what player do you play like?" And he said Rory Sloane. So he looks really good. And it was a good win from Adelaide. Collingwood defeat Carlton Skeeter in a last-minute goal to our man, my man, Nick Dacos. 32 touches through the middle the entire game. No Dugowie. No Mitchell. Nick Dacos has a big game. 88,000. It's the biggest home and away crowd ever between the two sides. Sam Walsh was good. He had 33 disposals. Lockie Sullivan debuted, who, when I rolled that out about all that stuff that I knew about him, I was completely wrong. Someone sent in a fine and was like, "Mate, you have no idea what you're talking about, Lockie Sullivan." But he kicks two goals, one of those from his first kick. Skeet, if I can just keep the limelight for a second.
Yeah, you go. Well, that's pretty much natural for you, yeah.
Nick Dacos kicks the final goal. I'm hoping we can, we might even double down on the back chat breakdown with this one. But I'll tell you right now, with 57, 1 minute to go.
And just quickly, I notice on social media, I'm a, it's like a voyeur when it comes to social media.
You're a voyeur.
You're a participant. And you and Ralphie just going at it on John Ralph from the Herald Sun.
Yeah, shout out Ralphie. Slid in my DMs as well, Ralphie.
Why would you slide into this?
I don't know. That's probably the question.
Don't blokes do that with girls?
Yeah. I'm not going there, Skeeter. You're talking about voyeurs and DMs. Not sure what's going on. Right. With a minute and 10 to go.
Yeah.
Right. Scores are level. D50 stoppage. You are goal side of your man. And you don't roll the dice. You do not roll the dice at D50. There's not There is not one situation where with a minute to go and scores a level, are you rolling the dice? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're Connor Rosie. It doesn't matter.
But you're talking about Carlton here.
Isaac Heaney. I'm talking about Carlton. Yes. You are defending a D50 stoppage. There's no result that's going to happen from a D50 stoppage that can win you the game. I'll tell you what will happen. If you ball watch and you get caught goal side of your man, your goal side, and he is attacking and rolling dice, as he should be, you get a goal kicked on you, especially if it's the best player in the AFL, Nick Dacos. So that's exactly what happened to Sam Walsh. He was ball watching. Okay, you might think that your player's going to get the ball. It doesn't matter. Get the job done. There wouldn't be a coach in the AFL, in fact, Skeeter. It wouldn't be a coach in VFL. It wouldn't be a coach in amateur football that would look at that footage and think, "Oh, Sam Walsh, you almost got it, mate." I'll tell you what happened, Sammy. You lost the game for your team. And I guarantee it'll be showed in the Carlton Monday night, your Monday night training.
So hang on. Did you just go back and say that he lost them the game?
Mate, if you're on the most dangerous player on the ground at a D50 stoppage and he kicks the goal, yeah, that's what lost the game. Absolutely. There's no moment that defines a game.
Well, that's because we went back to say,
moment. But when you've got a job to do, mate, and the scores are level, and you're on your man and you look at him and it's a D50 stoppage and the only people that are scoring from that stoppage are Collingwood, you get the job done. And he didn't do it. And that's all right. He'll learn from it. But there's no other scenario that fits under. Get the job done, stop him from kicking the goal, and get some field position, and then you might have a chance. Otherwise, you've got a draw coming. Because you can't roll the dice from D50 and kick a goal from D50. Not going to happen.
Fair enough.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm happy to roll with that.
Fuck me. Getting educated by fucking people on social media about what to do at a D50 stoppage. I reckon I fucking know. Skeeter?
No,
far out.
Just watching
fucking
you.
Fucking spare me. Educating me, mate. I'm not talking to you, by the way.
Who are you talking to?
Ralphie? No, I'm not talking to anyone. Just talking to people.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say on Collingwood Carlton?
Not really. That's Friday night, and I was about 8:30 on that Friday night. I was up and about, put it that way.
Can I read a
64 inside 50s to 38. You don't need to go through your phone. You don't have to be...
Can I just read one or two text messages? Would you like to hear them, Nicholas? Where was this?
Oh, okay.
This is funny to my replies, actually. I'm having my first drink in 60 days. Had 15 bourbons. Fuck. Great job today, mate. I said, excellent, Skeeter. Rip them a new one, won't you, mate? And then about 20 minutes later, 20 bourbons and counting. XX. And I said, brilliant. effing Nick Dacos, little pipsqueak, after he just kicked the goal to ruin a bloody multi.
Yeah, it's those didn't age well for me, but anyway, that's fine.
Very good. Sydney defeat GWS in the Battle of the Bridge. This one's an interesting one. Look, GWS lost their best player in the first quarter in Tom Green with an ankle. Yeah.
It could be long term.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, really?
They've said that all good. He'd be test to play this week.
Okay, that's massive.
So with ankles, they're a jabbable part of the body, Skeeter. So if you do a hammy, no jabbing. You know, you're done. If you do
ACL,
not even ACL, but just knee ligaments, they won't ever jab a knee. Ankles, they can numb that and you can play on them. So I was surprised they didn't do that given how early in the game it was. Shoulders, you can jab. Same thing we saw but Sicily do that in the Hawthorn game.
In terms of, you know, the importance of Tom Green, we've had a go at, you know, had a go at the Port Adelaide situation with Connor Rosie.
Yep.
Is this a case where he's too important a player to be, I mean, you're right, you can jab them, but is it best to give him some time on the sidelines to get him right?
Probably, but ankles linger a little. But once you're through them, you're through them, and you can work through it. So I think as long as there's not massive structural damage, so there's three main ligaments in your ankle. And I do know about ankle, Skeeter. Don't call me Dr. Peter Larkins, but there's three main ones. As long as they're relatively intact, he should be fine to play next week. Losing him, though, look, that's not the reason Sydney won. I thought they were really impressive, Sydney. Like, they moved the footy well. They're attacking, aggressive, tackle hard. Really good.
They were, and I'm not going to linger too long on this because I tipped Sydney, and then an hour beforehand, it was Saturday, wasn't it? So it was 10:40, so I reckon I was still coming off my Friday night. I was listening to you in my head, Brad Hardy telling me the Giants are certainties. So I tipped the Giants, and they led by 18 at quarter time. And after that point, I think they went about 2.5 quarters without really troubling the score. What were they? It was 5-3 to 2-6. They didn't score a goal in the second quarter, and you're right. They just got bullied by their opposite numbers. Have you got any? I know you think the Giants are probably premiership credentialed, and the best team in it.
Yep.
Any slight concerns at this point, just by what we saw on the weekend?
Oh, I think you have to. They struggled to score, didn't they, at stages in the game, and Sydney didn't. So, you know, they're two parts of the game you really need to get right. And off turnover, they look pretty good, Sydney as well. So, look, I'm not. You know. It's
round eight.
It's not all over or anything like that, but it's a big win for Sydney. And if anything, it just moves Sydney's credentials higher. I think GWS probably about the same for mine. They're in that top four. I think they're a big chance. They make sure they get a run into finals and they're all good.
We're probably, you know, it's a mile away, but the Giants and Sydney, it's not inconceivable, is it? We've always been hoping the Eagles would play Fremantle in a grand final at the G. Well, this is bona fide. Going back to 2006 when both clubs were right in the mix, and even 2015.
Yeah.
This is where these two New South Wales clubs are sitting. They're right top four credentialed.
The AFL, in terms of preference, I think, would be they either want two big Melbourne clubs in a grand final to have, you know, sell it.
And Carlton and Collingwood.
Yeah, like just the hype that would be in Melbourne for that. Or like Brisbane v Gold Coast or Sydney v GWS.
I think they'd like the Giants to win it.
Yeah, correct. But whether they can do that, that'll be down to go. Lockie Whitfield was pretty quiet as well, just as a little side note. Sydney now top of the ladder, going very well. St Kilda defeat North Melbourne. Look, have you got anything specific you want to talk about this one?
Not really, because I didn't see it. no, I saw it. I turned it on, but I was actually... What was it a Saturday afternoon? I think I was watching some racing as well on Sky. So
you had a full bender. Skeet's gone full bender. Locked himself into the sports room.
Yeah, no, my wife was at home, so I just had to pretend I was busy for a couple of hours doing some study.
You're researching.
Researching the waffle for Sunday. Under a bit of duress there. Darcy Wilson, let me put...
an injury report. I'm not ready for the weekend.
You know, you drink, have to drink water and water and water.
Sweating.
Yes. Yeah, okay. And shivers and all sorts. Anyway, Darcy Wilson, you like him?
Yeah, a lot.
He's kick three. Yeah. And I know Ross, the boss, is really keen on him. So, look, they won by 38. You can take what you want out of the Saints. They're not brilliant in North Melbourne or what they are, but I thought Darcy Wilson has shown to me that, I'm going to keep track of his career because he looks like a beauty.
Yep, like it. Put your chips in on him. Melbourne defeat Geelong, 74-66. In a pretty dour affair at the MCG, like we said at the start of the show. It was low scoring. There were some big defenders in this one. Stephen May was huge, 25 touches. I think Jake Lever did pretty well as likely type as well. Tom Hawkins, goalless again.
You mentioned that 4 weeks now. I'm sure you haven't seen every minute of the Cats in the past month, but it's a, is it the...
So I'm just recalling what I said was going to happen this one. Tom Hawkins to kick a massive bag on Stephen May or Lever.
Well, that's where Melbourne, I think, feel pretty comfortable playing against Geelong because they have the defence.
Yes.
And both teams have got great defences. There's no doubt about that. No, it, you know, wasn't a huge surprise that Melbourne got up here, but it was a case of, in the last quarter, needed some brilliance. Maxi Gawn,
yes,
from 55, did the job. And I think it was Barty Fritsch who kicked a beauty boundary side. So there wasn't much between them. 24 scoring shots to 21. So Melbourne were 5-14 at three-quarter time.
Yeah.
They kicked five goals straight in the last quarter. In essence, that got them across the line. And as much as we like Sydney and the Giants, Melbourne, I think, a bit of the quiet achievers thus far. Six wins next to their name. They're sitting in the top four. Oh, I see a really big upside for them moving forward. Them and the Cats, I don't think, apart from the lack of output from Tom, which is, I think, a genuine concern. I mean, as a player, you'd be thinking to yourself, Tommy at his age going, okay, how does he get out of this rut?
Well, but the thing is, so if you think about Josh Tracy, what I'll say about him, having Tom Hawkins in the side, he still takes the best defender, the best key defender, big defender, that's Tom Hawkins. So without him, you know, you've suddenly got a young, I don't know who comes into the side for Tom Hawkins. So you're never going to drop him, but... how does he get out? Just you got to go back to what he's known over 15 years of footy. Get your processes right. Do the little things. He's a good enough player to know that it'll turn, but it's certainly a patch he hasn't really experienced. I don't know if ever.
No, I can't. Surely 4 weeks without a goal would be first time.
Big key forward anyway. Yeah. So look for him to have a big day next week.
Port Adelaide.
Yeah, big bag.
He'll be back.
Big bag for Tom Hawk. Geelong, Melbourne. Well done. Good job, Melbourne. Hawthorne defeat Bulldogs.
Yeah, this is your big one.
Thank you very much. You should have listened to me if you didn't. I've bloody told you all about it. Skeeting asked me why. Why I thought they were going to win?
Why?
No idea. Absolutely. No. I'm big on the motivation factor and coaches from week to week will have different things they'll be pulling out, whether it be, you know us against them or Sam Draper's come out and said this about us. Or they've got all these different triggers, all these different things. Or, you know, this week we've trained really hard in the contested ball, so we're going to smash them in contested ball or whatever it is. I just have looked at the Bulldogs for the last few weeks and I reckon Sam Mitchell would have been like, boys, these are gettable. Like, this is a winnable game. And not saying he doesn't say that every week, but he would have really lent into, like, these guys are gettable. They don't defend well. They're inconsistent at the contest. They can't connect ahead of the footy. If we bring our A game, we can beat these guys. And for a young side in Hawthorne, I think the belief factor would have been big, and that's why I thought they were going to beat them.
Yeah, I watched part of this game. They were terrific, the Hawks. And I think built a lead... at one stage, more than 20 points. And I thought, okay, it's always a concern when you're Hawthorn, you've got that lead because they haven't won a game up till now, and there's always that issue. In fact, two games they've won now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they hadn't had much success this season, but they'd been able to get themselves into that winning position. I thought that James Sicily was outstanding.
Yeah, dislocated shoulder.
So he injured himself and then kicked the winning goal late in the piece.
Did you see him with the Wizard late? Have you seen that one?
I saw the Wizard miss a very gettable goal.
So Sicily got it. So there's great footage of this. Sicily gets it out the back. He could have just kicked the goal, but Wizard's flying past. So he goes to give it to him. Misses the handball, James Sicily, mind you. So whether that was shoulder related or not, doesn't really shepherd that well, the bloke running with him. But the Wizard needs to kick it, right? Absolutely shanks it. And James Sicily goes off his nut. And people are saying on social media, you know, no captain should ever act like that around young players. Just let me tell you, winning means everything, and especially to a guy like James Sicily. So you give it to a young kid, he would have been giving it to him, say, he's going to kick this, he'll remember this forever. You can't hide your emotion in a situation like that because as captain, you're thinking, right, I should have just kicked the goal myself. They're going to go down the other end. We're going to lose this. It's going to be a draw, whatever it was going to be. And his emotions boiled over a little bit. I didn't hate it at all. I'm sure the Wizard, Nick Watson? I'm sure he wouldn't have minded it either.
What I do mind is him being called the Wizard when he hasn't really done much in front of goals this year just yet. He's going now. He didn't give himself that nickname. Maybe he did give himself that nickname. But why? I mean, Jeff Farmer, the Wizard. We know why. He was the Wizard. He did stuff which was magical. What has this young bloke, and this is not a having a shot at him. He's just a kid. Don't you have to achieve something before you get that nickname?
So would you like me to stop calling him the Wizard?
Well, someone's got to freaking stop calling him the Wizard. He hasn't done anything yet. He's struggled to hit the scoreboard, hasn't he? He's kicked 2-7 or something stupid. The Wizard, give me a spell.
Oh, that's brilliant. On to Brisbane, defeat Gold Coast. Sunday night footy.
Do you know how much I watched of this? Nothing.
I watched all of it.
Did you really?
What were you doing? Sleeping?
No, I'm spending time with my family. I've actually got my
bullshit. Wife and... Don't talk shit to me. Shut up. Don't even start down that track. I liked it.
Did you?
Sunday night footy.
No, the reason it was is because there's a public holiday in Queensland today.
Is that right?
That's correct.
I was actually sitting there going, why is this on TV for? But it was great. I had a few beers, watched along. Might have had a little...
Did you maybe put the kids to bed at some stage, or you just said, no, this is my Saturday night all over again?
That's correct. So they were in another room watching The Lion King. They swapped the movie. At some stage, Home Alone 3 was playing. We've got robbers breaking into things. Sid was enjoying that. I put a nice little live bet on. So I learnt this off Mark Reddings. I remember one day being, I think we were calling the Waffle Grand Final, and just getting ready and prepared, as you said, prepping for this. And there's an NRL fucking Division 3 game happening somewhere, and Skeet's out the back of the box going, ZLM, account number 754573. I want $20 on the fucking Northern Blues to fucking get up over the line.
Scully.
So anyway. What?
You're a dickhead.
So anyway, that was me last night. Mate, Gold Coast.
How much fun is it? Punting.
Well, not this one. Gold Coast kick a goal halfway through the third. Brisbane have got two ACLs and a concussion.
Lose Stasevich pregame.
Mate, there is no way Brisbane's winning this game. Gold Coast are going to run over them. Their midfield's going to get going. They're going to finally ignite. I don't think they scored again. I don't think they scored 1 point. So
your investment didn't
$50 down the gurgler. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your good friends at Tab Touch. Now, Brisbane, Gold Coast. Gold Coast, they are no good. Yeah. They're no good. You can't pick them.
They
can't pick them.
Away from First People's Stadium. is that the right
place? People's First. People.
I knew it didn't sound right. Hey, I'm getting my welcome to country mix up. Anyway, away from Carrara, they're no good. Damien Hardwick has just been brought into this club to try and change it. And it's a work in progress. Let me just quickly mention Chris Fagan. I had to listen to his post-match press conference. He has described that win as the most courageous he's ever seen from a bunch of blokes in his time in footy. I swear to God.
Wow.
Just because of those injuries. So he thought it was enormous. Bottom line is, though, they beat the Gold Coast Suns, and I know you're bullish on them really going north, and you said to me they're going to Brisbane. They're going to play finals. They've got a great run. Those injuries, notwithstanding, they've got a good schedule coming up, but I'm just still concerned about what's going to happen with
them. Yeah, I mean, I didn't take into my calculations that they have four ACLs over the past, and they've had five in the last 10 weeks of footy or something like that. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. When that happens that many times, that you actually have to start considering whether they're just chance or there's something, whether it's the hardness of the ground or their training loads or, you know, to have that many.
Which is what the Eagles have had to do, I suppose.
Not ACLs, though. Not with the same injury.
So how many ACLs have they had in the last one? Because they've had Ashcroft.
They've had five. So Ashcroft.
They've had
Doudet.
Kitty Coleman.
Kitty Coleman, Gardner and McCarthy.
Yeah, that's five seasons out between them.
Yeah, terrible news. Terrible news. And they get a win, though. And I think they're going to continue to do that. Six in a row for Mind Skater. Zorko had 40 and in my dream team and just absolutely dominated.
Big numbers.
He'd done pretty well for an old fella, I can tell you that. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. Couple of questions that finishes off, Skater. Make sure you sign up as a patron, VIP. Skeeter will be warming up with some videos after we finish this today. Smooth Beak sends in, interestingly, Clay Hall is listed at 190 centimetres on his profile. Could he have grown quite a bit since that measurement was taken, I guess, last year? If Yo is out for the next game, maybe Clay Hall could come in for him. Now,
I did his game yesterday.
Wasn't he cited for rough conduct?
Yes, there was a front-on contact, which I'm pretty sure the umpire in the Waffle, I'm about to go in and find out whether that's the case.
Michael Christian?
No, I'm not. You idiot. I'll be able to find out what the charge. I'm pretty sure the umpire did his number.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, but it's very... And look, I think he might get a reprimand, but you know, look, the only reason I'm saying he's 195 centimetres, because you've said to me he's 195 centimetres.
He's very close to it if he's not 194. He's massive.
Yeah, he is. And he's a big body. Wasn't great yesterday.
He had one kick.
Wasn't great.
He had 17 and he had one kick.
Yeah, wasn't great. So in that sense.
What wasn't he great? Oh. And we're not picking apart a young player. Just like, I think he's a straight swap for Elliot Yeo. And I've been banging that.
Yeah. And I've been supporting on that because I'd like to see him in there. East Perth got hold of him after half time. So
more impact or more,
bit of both.
Yeah, okay. Disposal, I don't know.
More impact, I think, as opposed to, he had 17, but it wasn't a player that I noticed.
Well, who was good? Because Noah Long's out.
Noah Long is out.
Elliot Yeo's out.
Jai Cully, not super. Okay. Andrew Gaff certainly didn't do enough. Terrell Dewar. He was probably, of those players we've mentioned, he was the most lively of them. Clay Hall, don't get me wrong, he wasn't horrendous, but by the same token, Gaffy was not, put it this way, he's not pushing his way back if there's a...
There's three injuries though, mate. You're going to have to play someone.
Yeah, but I still don't think... Well, from what I saw, Gaff wasn't the player to automatically come into that side. Jai Cully, I think he's still working his way back from injury. They're obviously going to persist with Liam Ryan, despite the fact he looks like he needs some more time on the waffle.
Bergil,
no. I don't think he was... probably the best player is Harley Sparks. So,
Jermaine Jones?
Jermaine Jones is an option, showed a bit. Put it this way, they beat him by 70 points, Scully. So there wasn't like a standout.
No, but I know that, but they've got to find someone.
100%, they've got to find someone. But what I'm saying is, none of the players that I saw yesterday said to me, a bit unlike Neil Erasmus, for instance, for Peel Thunder, Will Brody getting 35 as they did on the weekend, made me think, wow, there's your obvious replacement, ready to go.
Well, that's disappointing for West Coast
might be Clay Hall. I hope it is.
Yeah.
Because you're right, in terms of you're beaten by 70 points. He's a big boy, and maybe this is the break that he needs to get into the side.
Last one, Skater. G'day, gentlemen. Just wanting to know the interaction from coach to runner to player. On the broadcast, you just see the coach going off his fucking head. Then the runner goes out to see the players. How do they actually break down or explain what the coach has just said? Does the runner have to be experienced and understand what the coach is saying, or is there someone on the bench that gets the message and breaks it down for the runner?
I would say, and you'll be able to clarify this, I would say that what the coach tells the runner and what the runner tells the player can sometimes be a very watered down or certainly a slightly altered version. It won't be verbatim every time, I wouldn't think.
So there's actually a person we're missing in this one. There's a bench manager. So there's someone with a headset. It used to be a phone back in the day, but there's someone with a headset that gets all of they have a full feed of the coaches basically, and they can speak to anyone. They can speak to the forward line coach, the back line coach, or the head coach. Messages come. There's like a pathway. Messages come only from the head coach, but like the back line coach might say, "Oh, we need to get Schofield off. He's getting towed up." He'll tell Simo. Simo will tell bench manager. Bench manager will tell runner. So the runner just gets the message. The runner isn't sitting there with a headset out and going like, "Buckets, go down. Will, get him off. So he's not copping that. The bench manager is. The bench manager then, who's got a really important job, has to translate the bullshit that happens up in the box down to, can you get Will Schofield off? That, you being the runner, that's the message that goes. You run out, scampering out, do a couple of hammies on the way out, and you get, "Scully, can you just come off, mate?" And then as the player, you will then come off and the bench manager will have like a headset ready for you. And so usually you come off and have a chat to your line coach. Come off, hey, it was Praddy during my time. "Hey, Praddy, what are you saying? What's happening? How are we doing?" But if the headset gets offered to you, that's
direct
the head
feedback.
Coach, that's the head coach, and you know what's coming. So the bench manager might go, "Scully, Simo," and you just get the eyes.
And can I ask you this very quickly? When you're getting that spray, are there players that you know that, I mean, most times anyone actually bite back?
I would look, and you know me, Skate, I'm what is it? I'm never backwards and coming forwards.
Yeah.
And that's in most situations. I would strongly recommend that you just cop it straight in the chin and just shut the fuck up. There's not one situation that could work out you going back at the coach in that scenario. So just cop it. Yep. Okay. Yep. You're a good bloke. Yeah. I'll see you for dinner on the weekend. Too easy. Bang. Goodbye. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shuttle Footy Cast. Skeeter, that's us done and dusted. Make sure you sign up, support the podcast, you become a VIP, a Patreon. You can jump over onto backchatstudios.com.au to find that. Send us an email, footycast@backchatstudios.com.au, and jump on socials.
And just a shout out to one team that's doing a bit tough this morning, Elizabeth, in the Adelaide Football League Men's Division 6. They were beaten by Fitzroy, 82-24, 516. Elizabeth, no score. James Ellis kicked 17 goals for the winning side, but he was not even the main man. It was Josh Rosenthal with 29 goals as Fitzroy went Wooshka, 516 points to the winning margin. They led by 369 at three-quarter time. They kicked 21 goals in the first quarter. And the boys from Elizabeth might have been like me on the Friday night on the drink if they were. It was a pretty bad night out.
Imagine being the fullback. He's had 39 kicked on him. Far out. A couple of shelters after that one.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.